Serena Williams.
I'd like to call the Commerce, Gaming, and Land Committee to order. Today is September 10th, and the time is 3:03 p.m. Roll call, please, Ms. Merle.
Congressman Tillman?
Here.
Congresswoman Stabler?
Here.
Congresswoman Goodfox?
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Present.
Congresswoman Pratt? Congresswoman Twyford?
Here. We have a quorum. Next item on the agenda is prayer. Ms. Rebar, would you please give us a word of prayer today?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving me the opportunity to speak with you again today. Please be with all of us around the table and in the audience and with our people. Help us to make good decisions that affect our people. All this I pray in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ms. Rebar. Next item on the agenda is approval of minutes from September 5th. We do have, yes, and we have September 6th also.
I move to approve the minutes from September 5th, 2018.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed? Seeing none, seeing no opposed, the minutes are approved. And now we have the minutes from September 6th. Motion with a second by Congresswoman Lemon. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say yes.
Yes.
Are there any opposed? Seeing none, the minutes from September 6th are approved. Next item on the agenda is consideration of ONCA 1856, an act to provide an appropriation to the Minerals Council of the Osage Nation in the amount of $176,650 and to establish an alternate effective day. Congressman Walker is a sponsor of this legislation for the Minerals Council and can't be present right now, so I went ahead and signed up as co-sponsor of the bill so we can hear it in committee. And since I am the co-sponsor representing it, I shall turn the chair over to Vice Chair Tillman for him to run the rest of the meeting because the next bill is mine also. So take it away, Mr. Tillman.
Thank you, Congresswoman Whitehorn. Next item on the agenda, as mentioned, is consideration of ONCA 1856. Is that listed here?
18th is listed correctly.
So I'd like to turn that back over to Congresswoman Whitehorn. How would you like to proceed?
I'm aware that the Minerals Council has applied for a grant, but I don't know all of the circumstances or application process surrounding it. And Mr. Lynn is here to represent the Minerals Council in this on this issue. So I would turn the floor over to Mr. Lynn. Can you please talk to us about your grant and this appropriation, please?
Thank you, Council. Yeah, this is a DEMD grant, Division of Energy Mineral Development, with the Department of the Interior. We do have the funding and it's ready to be drawn down now. It's for $176,650 total. The grant is an oil and gas data economic feasibility study to access the potential benefits of the geologic characterization to gather and analyze oil and gas data on the Osage Mineral Reservation to help manage the oil and gas resources, promote leasing, and maximize revenues for future production, is the way it's written.
Thank you. Committee, is there any questions for?
Congresswoman Goodfox made a good point.
Is this okay? I don't know if I missed that. So is this 176,650 matching, like our part is a match?
No, this is fully funds that we're ready to start expending now. This is coming from the federal government to do this project. This is not a matching grant or anything. It's all set, ready to go.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
My only question on it, this is one push out the door of money. This isn't a recurring grant that you're going to get this same set amount in FY20 also. So this is...
No, this is a one-time deal.
One-time deal, okay. Is there anything else that you'd like for us to know about this grant, Mr. Lynn?
We just wanted
appropriated.
Thank you. Yes, we just told them we'd hit the ground running on it.
Okay, great. So.
Committee, anyone else have any comments, questions for Mr. Lynn? Congratulations, Mr. Lynn. I know it's exciting.
It is.
It's a good chunk of money.
Yeah.
So who wrote the grant?
Tolly Redcorn was sitting at my computer keying it in, and I was trying to scoot it more into oil and gas, and so we both worked on it.
Good job, well done. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Make a motion to report it to Congress?
To do pass it, pass.
To do pass.
Motion.
OMCA 1856.
Motion on the floor.
Second.
And a second for discussion. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Next, item number six, consideration of ONCA 1848, an act to provide an appropriation to the executive branch of the Osage Nation for fiscal year 2019 in the amount of $74 million plus. Establish an alternate effective day. Congresswoman Whitehorn, how would you like to proceed?
I think that we have this organized by sections, section 8788, the Realty Department, and I see Ms. Curry is present here to represent that. Then section 8990 is the roads, and Mr. Carr is here present to represent that. And section 119 and 120 is for the Wildland Fire Department. And I believe Mr. Ross is here to represent that. So I'd just like to go in order and hear from these folks about their programs and their budgets that they presented to Congress.
Okay. Ms. Curry, would you like to step up first and enlighten us on the real estate non-tribal? I believe we're pulling that up as we speak. And then we have the real estate tribal revised. So non-tribal revised and tribal revised is what we have. So. Thank you for coming to the table.
Thank you.
Look back up. There was something.
Ms. Curry, could you just start and tell us a little bit about Section 87 in real estate and what it is?
You know, real estate services, we provide, you know, we compact it or assume the duties from the BIA. So we provide services to over 700 landowners plus the Osage Nation. As far as their leasing, rights of ways, acquisitions, and disposals, we have increased our staff by one person. Included in here a copy of our report. Kind of gives you an overview of the program. And we also process the fee to trust applications for the nation.
Congresswoman Staple.
This appears to be their federal side. Can we look at the non-federal? Yeah, this is non-tribal. Like, is there a way to split the screen or?
Yes, we can, but I'm not. I don't drive that well.
There you go.
So it looks like, excuse me.
Go ahead.
So it looks like overall this budget, there's been a decrease in this budget overall. Is that correct, Ms. Curry?
Correct.
If you combine your tribal and your non-tribal, we're dropping this budget about $55,000.
Correct.
Do you have your positions split by percentages, or do you have different positions in each budget?
Well, they're split.
The specialists look like they're federal, and the director is split, right?
Okay.
The director's split, two specialists are federal, the inspector's split, the admin person's split, and then the realty assistant is all tribal, and the new realty specialist is 70 tribal and 30 federal.
That's part of the one that we were here earlier, correct?
Mm-hmm.
When we were talking about, I'm sorry.
Just wanted to make the managed assets director, that's part of the one we were speaking about in the last meeting, correct?
Yes.
Because this is the real estate. Okay, I just wanted to clarify that. Those are the real estate and TDLA and Tribal Works. Those ones are split.
Right.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
So I remember last year that a bill got filed, I think it was by Congresswoman Goodfox, to do some supplemental dollars for fencing for restricted landowners. Sometime, I know that that comes out, a distribution from federal funds, from the BIA, spray money, or fencing, is that correct?
The Noxious Weed Program is a continuous program run by the Bureau that we can apply for every year. The only time that we can get money for fencing is if the Bureau has leftover money. We can always ask for every year.
Is that specifically earmarked for fencing, or do we get to choose what we use that leftover, those leftover dollars for as a compact?
We get to choose. We have to write up a proposal and say, if you can give us $100,000, this is what we want to do with it.
Mm-hmm. I see. But I do remember that maybe that bill got withdrawn because of budgetary finance constraints. Am I correct, Congresswoman Goodfox?
It did, and it was also, I filed it kind of late in the game, and we were about to wrap up session, and I didn't think that it was gonna make it out the door. We had some budget constraints, and then with the election process, it was gonna die if it didn't get passed out, so I withdrew it.
Okay. Can I go on?
Mm-hmm.
I think I say this every time, but I just, I'm going to say it one more time. The reason Tribes Compact Services from the BIA is to improve those services for the segment of people that they serve. And I am of the opinion, and I think that I've seen with other tribes, that in order to do so, you have to augment these programs with tribal funds to make them be better for our people. Can I scoot it just in one moment, please, and then I'll put it back. Where am I? Back on my key. See, I don't drive very good. So we're augmenting this program, $366,000 to serve our Osage landowners. And we only get $405,000 from the federal government. So I think that the service they provide as far as the leasing to helping our Osage restricted landowners handle their leases, I think they're getting more response, better service in that area. But I sure would like to get to the point where we can do what the intention of Congresswoman Goodfox's bill was, and to augment that program to help our restricted landowners better be able to fence their lands and care for their lands. And so that I just have to say that because I think we need to get there as a nation. So thank you.
Congresswoman Stabler?
Yes, and I kind of tag off of that. That's what I was wanting to ask. In the time since we've compacted that program, have you been able to improve technically or through staffing? Are you still filing under trespasses, or is everybody getting caught up on their leases? Or how are you all doing?
We have reduced the backlog by over 80%.
Wonderful.
There's a little bit. There's a small group of landowners that will not send their paperwork back in for various reasons. Maybe their interest is very small and they don't think it's worth $20 a year for a lease because their interest, you know, is small. You know, these Osage families, there's 100 different reasons why they may not send their paperwork in. So we go through there every month and check off every 30 days who sent their paperwork in, who hasn't. We do 3 follow-up letters, and then we proceed to a 90-day notice where the superintendent can sign for them. And by doing that, we've been able to really knock that backlog out. So I think most of the landowners are pleased, the ones that have been in trespass for years and years. And then there are a few cases. We have some landowners where they want a lease. Maybe they own 100%, but they will not send their paperwork back. And they choose to remain in trespass status. So for those, we just let them stay there.
Good. That's good.
And as to the fencing is really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we prepare and come back and ask for money, I mean, it's going to be an endless task. So it might be that we could ask for, you know, $500,000 every year. We could ask for probably $1 million every year until it's all fenced. So that's why we want to try and go after the BIA to get money from them first, and then maybe we could supplement it that way or add to it.
Thank you.
Councilwoman Lemon?
I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Committee, anyone else have any more questions?
Just had a question about, let me compare it to the federal budget, but I see that your professional fees, I don't know what they were used for in 18 of $146,000, but I see they've decreased by that much, leaving you only $3,700 in your professional fee line item for your total budget, tribal and non-tribal. Can you speak to that?
If currently we're at the end of the fee to trust process on all of our properties through a memorandum of understanding, the casino has agreed to pay for all the related expenses on the gaming parcels and the parcels that are adjacent to the gaming tracks, like the Tulsa Back 75, the Tulsa Airport. We have some money left to work on Blue Stem. If we put more parcels into trust, then we'll be coming back and asking for more money. They're not related to gaming at all.
Okay, thank you.
Committee, any more questions? Ms. Curry, not chair, would you entertain a motion?
First of all,
I know.
Motion to reflect right there in those names. And it's sections
87.
I'll make a motion to have the minutes reflect that section 87 and 88 of LMCA 1848 has been considered and accepted. That's what this says.
Motion and a second. Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Those opposed say no. Seeing none, motion passes. Thank
That's
you,
Ms. mine. Curry. I was wondering. Give it.
Thank you, Ms. Curry. I appreciate your time. It's been a table. Is there anything else that you brought for us?
What is this?
Add? because we like information, but we're going really fast on these budgets. So if you have a document that you prepared for us, we would definitely love to have that for our records.
It should have all been stamped.
It was stamped.
So we are, you are, okay.
Is that what we asked for from last meeting?
Yes, it's here. Do you have Google Earth?
Do I have what?
Google Earth.
Google Earth?
Google Earth.
Google Earth. Do you have the Lord?
I do have the Lord, but I don't have the Glorth.
That was the document we asked about the land and what we own.
I think, and you'll have to ask Dana or Shannon, I think Melissa Cole brought all that down.
Today?
Today.
Okay.
She said this morning, it's probably Shannon.
I did see.
If not, we can get you everything that Melissa.
We certainly would, do you want to look at that right now, or do you want to move on with the meeting?
That's up to the committee.
I say, let's move on to the roads department.
Okay, could we get that though, so we can just.
We'll make sure you have it. Like I said, I think she brought it down here, but I'll.
Ms. Walker will know for sure if we.
You want this?
Present it to the clerk, so we'll get it.
There's a little legend.
Okay.
All right, great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Curry. Certainly appreciate your time and what you do for the SH people.
Next on the agenda is section 89, section 90, which is Mr. Justin Carr. Mr. Carr, could you please come forward for your annual present? How you doing? Good to see you, sir.
You and Andrew are all twinks today.
He called me.
Mr. Carr, if you could just kind of lighten us a little bit about the program, how things are going at the roads department with regards to your original and your revised budget.
Well, everything's going good. As you know, we're federally funded, agreement directly with Federal Highway Administration, travel transportation program. We try to build roads, bridges, sidewalks, make communities safer. We work with other departments, try to help everyone best we can, save travel dollars where we can.
Congresswoman White.
Hi, Mr. Carr. We know you do a lot for the nation and our roadways around the nation. I'd like to know just, I know I didn't ask this question in advance, but do you have an idea of what we spend annually or have spent annually this year on our own projects, such as sidewalks, parking lots, other than outside roadways for the, you know, for all public use? Because I know we've been getting better about turning our funds into things that we need as a nation.
No, I'd have to go back and, you know, we spent close to $1 million in the Hominy Village. You know, a bunch of little parking lots like the Hominy Wellness Center, we're fixing to the Fairfax Wellness Center. The Veterans Memorial.
Mm-hmm.
We're spending about $250,000 there.
Mm-hmm.
Sidewalk Head Start.
Yeah, the sidewalks at the Head Start we're doing, and the behind the immersion.
Okay.
You know, this is actually our interest money. We're building sidewalks in the playground back there so they can ride their little bikes all around. I didn't think it would really fit with our federal roads money, so we're going to use the interest money to help them out and do that.
So that just makes me have another question. So parking lots, like coming in off of a major roadway, that would be considered more of a roads project that would fit into to using federal dollars, and then something for us would come out of your interest money, such as what you just mentioned with immersion.
Yeah, and we just tied it in with the sidewalks. We're going down 15th Street, all the way in front of the Head Start, down to immersion. Since that's right there and on the roadway and everything, we can use our federal funds for that.
Okay.
But we went ahead and tied in the little sidewalk in the back with the same project, same contractor, and we just have to split the funds.
Okay, thank you. I was just wondering,
you go ahead, Justin, I have to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
What about the scenic byways?
Scenic Byways is coming along. We're down. Everything's completed. We're just waiting on the state to say go ahead. They have everything, and they keep telling us we're good. We're just waiting on this guy. We're waiting on this person. And anything with the state that I've ever done takes forever. But we are like, I'm hoping within the next couple weeks, advertising for bids.
Wonderful.
Congresswoman,
I know that we, I think you guys kind of try to prioritize, because it's a big county and there's lots to do. There's lots of places that money could go. I would like to ask, though, because I kind of started talking to the executive about this 6 or 7 months ago, about the span between the Hyman High School and the North and South Fallon addition. We have so many Osage kids that have to walk up and down that Cotton Gin Road, and it's been dangerous for years. And someone in executive had said, well, you know, we could get money for like the right of way, and I know that there's an Osage family that owns to the right of all the way down Cotton Gin Road for there to be a proper sidewalk for our kids. And I'm just kind of reminded of this as I go out to see all my family out in the Bronx, and then I'm coming back and it's after school, and all our little Indian kids that have missed the bus for whatever reason are walking up and down that road with cars flying 55 miles an hour down that road. Is that kind of in maybe the near future for y'all to put a sidewalk down there?
Well, it can be. This is the first it's been brought up to me. But we can work it in. I mean, if we're talking about acquiring right away and everything, you know, it's a good year or two to get something under construction.
Well, I'm not telling you to do it. I'm just saying, think about it. At least think about it.
No, we need.
There's a lot. I mean, the Bronx is almost all Indians that live out there, mm-hmm. and a significant amount of Osages, and that road is, they're either walking on the road or they're walking in the ditch. That's the option, because there is no, what do you call that little area for there? There's no sidewalk.
Shoulder.
Yeah, there's no shoulder. So they're either in the ditch, walking in the tall grass, or they are on the road. And it's just, and plus, you know, I mean, it's dark too. Mm-hmm. I see kids walking down that road even at night. But and then I've seen them walking 7, 8 years old all the way up into high school, walking up and down that road.
That sounds like a good project, and we're looking for projects for 3 and 4 years out. We're needing some more ideas, and mm-hmm. You know, that's why we
there's
have
an idea for you.
I wrote it down.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Go ahead. I was just going to.
Congresswoman White.
Well, while we are on the Fallon addition, it's a crying shame to the condition of those roads out there. And there's a lot of Osage people that live there. Yeah. So maybe that ought to be a project to look at too, because it's in, I don't know how that works or who owns that road. I don't know your job, what you're supposed to do, but I know that's bad roads. Yeah. Got a lot of Osages live there. So anyway, I'm good.
Okay, so it was in line with that. I thought she was going to go back to the budget. And before we now know we need to get back to that, but I just wanted to say, and I'm not just saying this because Justin and I are twins, but I would suggest that when programs, I mean, because your program is extremely helpful to the nation and mm-hmm. and what you do, and what I think that what we need to get better at is involving you all on the front, because what we do a lot of times is scramble for money, and they're like, hey, what about those guys? And then there's so much in the planning stages that you all could have really helped on and made things make more sense, and probably more that you could have helped with when they've already gotten so far. So I appreciate what you all do. I know you've saved many different projects on many occasions. So I appreciate what you all do, but I just suggest whoever's listening or who has ideas for the coming years, like he's mentioned, is to let him in early. So,
Mr. Carr, are you all in charge of signage on the roads, Highway 60?
Well, state highways, the state is, and then county, county, city, city. But we have a sign machine and we do a lot of signage.
Okay. Do they consult with you guys about how do you spell Fairfax?
No.
You know what I'm talking about?
No. Is there a sign?
Well, there's a sign right up there by the Y that says Fairfax, F-A-I-F-A-X. And it's been there for
a long time.
2 years?
Really?
You've never seen it?
I've never noticed.
Anyway, as you're getting ready to approach the Y, and I think it's supposed to say Fairfax, and there's an arrow that goes this way. But look, they left out the R. It's been there a couple of years now. It's kind of, someone's looks like they tried to go up and erase it and white it out. But I didn't know if they consulted with you guys or not. Your equipment acquisition line of $6,000, what type of equipment is necessary for you guys to?
Well, aside from the office, you know, computers and paper and everything else. I also have a small maintenance program, two-man. There's two guys do a lot of pothole patching, putting up signs, little maintenance type stuff.
Colay?
Huh?
Colay, the roads, potholes.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, they're tools, hand tools, shovels, so all kinds of things like that.
Okay. And Mr. Johnson, is there any, as far as the federal government goes, with this program being in any kind of jeopardy? We're good there?
Not to our knowledge.
Okay. That's good. Committee, anyone else? I'm sorry.
Talking about potholes, you know how Domino's Pizza has the little sign? Need to put those same seal across there.
Run your meat pie.
Is that a motion, Paula? I second that if it is.
Committee, any more questions for Mr. Carr? Federal dollars we're dealing with here. Jesse, you've been here now for 5 years?
Well, I've been here for nine, but
director
for 2012, so.
Yeah, 6 years.
When we acquired RJ.
So you know what's next for you, right? Congresswoman Lemon.
I'd like to make a motion to have the minutes reflect that section 89 and section 90 have been considered and accepted.
Second.
Motion on the floor with a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Opposed say no. Motion passes. Mr. Clark, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
Hi, Justin.
I'll let you know what color tomorrow.
Yeah.
Next item is on the agenda.
Excuse me, look how fast he got up out of that chair. Sorry.
He loves it.
Section 119, wildland fire revised, and section 120, original wildland fire. We have representing. Please come forward and introduce yourself to the Congress.
Members of Congress, Ross Walker, Director.
Mr. Walker, welcome aboard. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
You can give us just a little bit of an update on how things are going at wildland fire.
Things are going good. Just a brief background on the program or the department. We're responsible for fire suppression on any restricted Indian land, and then anything threatening we're adjacent to. And then in the downtime, we work on hazardous fuels reduction projects, mechanical treatments as far as cedar encroachment, followed up with burns when funding is available, and then wildland fire prevention within our school systems and within our WELOs. And I think the next one we got going on is the health fair. It's coming up as far as fire prevention.
So for cedar eradication and also getting rid of the high fuel or high capacity of don't know the correct terminology, you know what I mean though?
Yes.
Is that, do you just apply that to our tribal lands, or do you also serve restricted tribal landowners with that? And if you do, how are they supposed to access you for those services?
It's on restricted land, for restricted landowners. There is funding available for tribal land that's not been put into trust status yet or restricted ownership. However, we do it on project. Like, we'll go out and look at it. Unfortunately, we can't go to every piece of property and treat it. Mm-hmm. If we go out and it's a fairly good-looking piece of property, and there's another piece of property that needs treatment worse, we got to prioritize.
Right.
A lot of times we look at what we would consider a hazardous fuel or what would cause fire suppression and be harder. We also focus on wildland-urban interface, which is around the homes, or anything threatening the community. It's hard just to go in and, for example, just go in and do burning when it would just be in betterment for the landowner themselves. I mean, that kind of falls back on the landowner.
Right.
But if we can go in and cut down cedars mechanically, then follow it with a burn, and we can actually restore it to its ecological state.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the targets we're looking for. I have some examples, I have some pictures. I have a flash drive in my pocket, absolutely. I can show you the most recent one we've done. We did not do any in FY18, there was no funding available. If you look at my federal budget, it's been hit pretty hard. And then my 584 budget though is the tribal budget. I think you're actually looking at the one before it was edited or revised.
Yes,
Brad,
we need to
sign that in my absence.
We need a revised on your...
The 581 is correct, the 584 is the inaccurate budget.
Right, so section 119, which would... He has a revised budget on...
Going in and got some money and funding.
Do we know the date?
I do have it with me, yes, ma'am.
Do we have a date?
Here's the one.
Date stamped.
Yeah, that you guys stamped.
August 29th.
Thank you. It was submitted within that package that you sent out, Ms. Merle. It's kind of difficult. I just want to say, excuse me, I didn't ask to be right.
Go ahead.
It's kind of difficult. We have two packets of budgets that have been sent, and the way we keep our documents, we have to go through a big, huge stack of the
Correct. The
first documents, and then we have to try to figure out what has been revised. So it's difficult sometimes for us to marry the two since we've had two budget submissions.
Correct.
So bear with us while we find the budget that you're wanting to speak to.
It's in there. At 12:09, we received the email today. Yes, it's in there.
Congresswoman Stewart.
I just wanted to ask, because this is all new to me. Now you have your tribal budget has grown again. So has your tribal budget grown through cuts through the federal side, or has it grown through development and improvement that you were making? Can you kind of give me the short version of that?
My tribal budget has grown based on when my funding got cut federally.
Mm-hmm.
I went from about $238,000 federal down to about $156,000 federal.
Mm-hmm.
So my tribal budget has increased.
We have it up now too.
Yes. If you look at the 307 is actually what we operate with. The 102 reimbursements, and like last year I figured 87,515. I've exceeded that by, I'm thinking I'm at like 156,000 in reimbursements. But again, it's hard to project reimbursements because it's also based on how busy of a year I have or how slow of a year I have. But any funds exhausted when allocated towards wildfire suppression or any other type of natural disaster, that's where the reimbursement goes, and that's where that comes into. So,
Mr. Johnson, to help Congresswoman Stabler along, at the same time the wildland fire budget was reduced, we were gaining a 43,000 acre ranch, and you know, so
increase.
our land holdings got larger too. So, you know, it was kind of a perfect storm for Ross and, you know, having to come to the nation for tribal dollars. So
that's not this one.
It's on.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to alarm you, but here we are again. We need to maybe have this box with appropriations, and I think that's what the last committee decided. But time and time again, we're seeing a very small increase in salary and wages, 3.1% increase, but yet on the benefits and taxes, we're seeing like a 27.5% increase.
Ms. Whiteboard, I have reached out to Tasha to find out the actual detail of that. I know a lot of times the SUTA will increase, you know, some of the employer portion that's outside of our control, but I've asked for her to send that to me. She's actually on vacation this week, but I did send a request so we could better explain that. In the fringe, is that what you're talking about?
In the fringe, yeah. It's consistently showing up in quite a few budgets where we're just seeing a very small increase in salary and wages and an exponentially large percentage increase in benefits. So I'd really like to know what's going on with that we can understand and see. And that doesn't really have anything to do with what you were talking about. Can I ask a question about your budget while
Absolutely.
I'm talking? Is so your travel, did you already address why that was an increase there, 54.5%? Not a lot of money, but it just shows a bigger increase in this budget.
Yeah, and that's what I'm looking at. It may have been a reporting error in last year's budget. How I have it though, our hotel per diem, I based that off of 6 employees.
Uh-huh.
Broke it down based on basically a 5-day training, one training a year. So a lot of our trainings we go to as our personnel advances in their qualifications, their training also gets more stringent. But that's based on about the travel, the hotel and per diem. That's strictly based on going to a training for roughly 5 days, $500 an employee plus per diem. And then airfare, we went to $1,500, which I know not all employees will even fly, if they fly any at all, to a training.
Mm-hmm.
If we can drive there, we're going to drive there. And then the GSA, the vehicle expense, the $2,500, that is for the GSA vehicles that we drive. However, majority of that will be reimbursed. Anytime we move an engine, the fuel that we exhaust, it's reimbursed because we're only driving engines to a fire or for, you know, fire suppression or patrol. We got 6 vehicles. We got 2. Oh, we're getting 2 crew trucks, command rig, and then we've got the 2 engines, and we got the prevention rig. So figured on about $750 each rig, each mm-hmm. vehicle, just to operate throughout the year with. So, as far as what my budget reflected last year, I'm not exactly sure what we had in travel last year. It may have just been an error on my part.
Okay.
Mr. Walker, how is your equipment, your vehicles holding up?
They're actually holding up very well, which was, well, because of you all, I received that supplemental appropriation halfway through the year that Congresswoman Pratt sponsored. And I think Alice co-sponsored. But I'm in the process of receiving, I should get the command rig. I should receive it next Wednesday. That's the last update I've had. And the 2 crew trucks that I purchased, they should be, they're sitting in Texas right now. That's the last update I've got on them. So they're sitting in Texas. They're waiting to be transported to Bonita. And then from there,
Beckel. I'm Danny Beckel.
But as director of this program, you're happy, satisfied with the condition?
I'm extremely satisfied with the condition, yes.
Very good. Committee, any questions for Mr. Walker?
Can you tell everyone about your training coming up? Just because you know how I feel about this program, have like leading up to it since 2011, 12-ish, and trying to grow more Osages to become wildland firefighters, and I've always been supportive, so.
Yeah, last year we did our first annual wildland rookie training right there in-house. I think we had 20 attendees, several within the nation and then several outside the nation. I think out of that there was 11 Osages, roughly 4 or 5 natives, and then I should say white, that attended. I'm using some of them, came to the training, and then I never seen them again, but I'm using about 7 or 8 of them now. They're Osages. They're my emergency hires. I've got a pool of 35 right now, and we're doing another training coming up August 1st through the 5th. Casey and I, he approved the dates, and I had the flyer posted. It's on the social media outlets right now. And so we're hoping to continue bringing in Osages, because as we train them up and as they gain these qualifications, we can use them as an emergency hire. We can take them with us when we travel out of state or use them locally, which is also why I needed the crew trucks. No matter how many people I have, obviously, if I can't transport them or get them to and from fire, give them something to work out of, or put equipment in their hands to work with. So,
just a comment, as we all have been exposed to more television coverage nationally of what has gone on, especially out on the West Coast, and the fires and they're amazing. I mean, yes. It's part of nature, but arson, factors in, but holy smokes, man, I mean, that's big time. That's dangerous.
Yeah, we didn't
line of work here and there.
We didn't get nobody deployed to California this year. However, we did have, myself included, we did send 4 staff members to Colorado to help on the Toyoc, or the Ute Mountain Agency. Toyoc, Colorado, we helped there. Was there for 21 days. I went out as overhead, and then I had 3 others go out as an engine boss and 2 engine crew members. And then we just, all 5 of them, myself stayed back. I was going through budgets and everything. We sent them to the Flathead Agency there in Ronan, Montana, and they assisted with fire suppression there on their wildland fires that they were having. Same thing, though. They come down here and assist us during our busy season when we need them as well.
That busy season is April, May.
I got some statistics.
March. Go ahead, share that. The committee would like to hear.
I would like to hear that and have a copy of that, too, unless they've been sent. Has that been sent?
I talked to Ms. Walker. You guys have this information.
You do.
She does have it. You do have it.
Will you find it for me, please? Thank
but
you.
March is our highest. March is our highest as far as it's our highest occurrence, January being the 2nd, February being 3rd, November, December, 4th, November being 4th, December being 5th, and then April is the 6th highest month, and then so on. Then also, I think I have some charts and tables and graphs. You have most of this, but I do have some that's on a flash drive here that I can either show you now or I can send it to you and you can review at your own time. I just don't know how rushed or hurried we are.
We're fine. Mr. Walker, do you have any information about the fires themselves or in just intentional burns that get out of hand or arson or lightning strikes, or can you tell?
I will say, implemented the burn permit system, I believe, 2 years ago. Our unwanted human-caused wildfires has decreased significantly. I can pull that statistic based off of with me, which is the reports that I have to enter as they occur.
Mm-hmm.
We do have to, any fire that originates on Indian land, we do do a investigation on it, cause and origin. Corbin Malone is our qualified investigator, which he got signed off last year when he went to Montana and worked with another qualified investigator. So we do have a qualified wildland arson investigator here for the nation now. Which is his primary responsibility on fires that do originate or start on trust lands, is to determine cause and origin. And then, like I said, the burn permit system, though, has decreased because of, or at least I definitely feel like that's a major factor of why it's decreased.
Does the drought conditions or lack of drought conditions kind of give you a heads up on how the seasons are going to be? Give you any kind of forecast?
Yes.
I was driving through the other day and I was looking around and here we are in September and everything's still green.
Right.
Which is really strange.
It is, and I was actually there for, I was getting a little nervous though prior to all this rain that we received, because we, with that being said, we didn't receive near the moisture that that I felt like we should have received in
spring.
Yeah, the spring. I mean, we didn't mm-hmm. hardly mm-hmm. receive any moisture. And then here we are in August getting, you know, substantial rainfall. But looking at all your outlooks, according to all your national outlooks, I mean, we were there for a while,
mm-hmm.
was in still a drought when everywhere else had they were normal conditions.
So the next months that we have coming up that are critical for us are January, February?
Well, I still anticipate to get busy in November, December, and even a little bit into October based on temperatures. I mean, once we have our first frost, the fuel models that we have in Osage counties are 1 hour fuel models, 1 to 10 to 100 hour fuels. So your grass, and I'll try to explain it as simple as possible, your grass will dry and saturate within basically an hour. So even though the ground may be fully saturated, once it goes into dormancy, it's not sucking any moisture, whether it's wet or not.
1 hour.
1 hour. It's when it's readily ignitable after a substantial rain. Now that's when it's dormant, though. Mm-hmm. That's when your pastures are brown. That's when you don't have any green up. That's after growing season has occurred. So, I face a challenge, even if we're putting vehicles out in the pasture trying to go direct versus indirect. You know, are those vehicles gonna get stuck? Are those vehicles gonna be able to go through the pasture? Or do we need to attack this fire differently?
Mm-hmm.
But in the winter, your fields, rain or no rain, they're gonna be dry. And that's usually after about your first two or three frost when those temperatures drop and when grass can burn.
I'll make it quick, but I just wanted to say that I appreciate that this has where the direction that this program has gone, because they were, you know, they started out with emergency management and the two of them together. So this program has grown, but we've also expanded our land base, but I just really, like I said, mentioned earlier, believe it or not, I started out as a young wildland firefighter, and I went with the Cheyenne Arapaho tribes. And, you know, we had enough firefighters too. Well, I wormed my way in there with the Cheyenne Arapahos, but they were able to fill an entire Greyhound bus full and take them out. And so, I mean, he's still working towards that. But I just wanted to acknowledge this program has been something that's been able to provide employment for Osages. And that's why I talk about, because, you know, they talked about the pipeline when it came through, and then just, but then they, you know, for them to continue on, they had to go away. But this is something that our local Osages that can stay home, they can go out on a job and come back, bring their dollars here, provide for their families. And it's hard work. It's really hard work. Mm-hmm. It turns, like I said, I've described it as turns boys and girls into men and women, because it's some hard stuff. And it's dangerous. And so I really respect what they do. And I'm
happy to see it grown and providing employment. And so he does have several more firefighters. I'd like to see more women in there, but...
I can't control
but applications. Right, but it's, I think it's really cool, so.
And we are sending emergency hires, and I use them. We are sending emergency hires with our full-time staff.
Oh, what I wanted to add, that we also, now that's down the line, I know we don't have money for it, but when they go to other locations, like when you go out to Flathead, they're really, really nice fire program, and of course, they're Montana, you know, it's beautiful, and lots of fires, but, so, hope long-term grow their base headquarters. And because, I don't know if everybody knows this, but when we have fires locally, we have, like he said, others come in and help us. So there's times that there's like 20, 25 visiting firefighters out there. And so they have, and we're all welcome to go and set in on their briefings for the morning. They're really interesting. And so they brief and then head out to their, but they have to stay in like hotels. And so they, a lot of times they stay at the hotel in Bartlesville and whatever's close so they can get back and forth to their headquarters. But when you go to visiting fires on their reservations and whatnot, they have like quarters where you can actually stay there. So someday we would like to grow to be able to provide for that, but they're like, you know, bumped out and they're, and have like really huge bays for their equipment and things like that. But so that actually goes on here for us. They have firefighters from all over the country come.
On a national scale, Mr. Walker, what does Oklahoma rank as far as activity, as far as wildfires? Where are we on that?
Did you not mind me looking at my cell phone for just one moment? Text message that wasn't too far. Oklahoma actually had the third most burnt acres, not two.
Did you say the third most burnt acres?
Yeah, we lost it. Which might not sound good. I'll let you know that statistic.
Would you get top five though?
Oh, definitely, yes. Okay. Texas had the most acres burnt. Of course, though, that's going to a lot of times be there. Texas is the largest state. Mm-hmm. And then I believe on the third, they lost this. Third, but I think it was either Utah or Arizona that lost the second most acres.
Yes. I had a conversation with Mr. Walker a while back. Our Blue Stem Ranch board has undertaken building a fire barn out there on their property to house, I think they have two big fire wagons, I don't know.
Two or three, I think.
But to help protect our property out there during fire season, to protect the ranch and our livestock out there. I don't know, I'm just gonna say on open mic, I think that we missed an opportunity for collaboration, possibly for a bunkhouse, maybe to combine funds there. So, like Congressman Pratt was saying, when these visiting tribes come in, we would have had a place on Osage tribal property to have housed them. So maybe going forward in the future, we'll be able to work those issues. I don't necessarily think that Mr. Walker wants to have his ideal firehouse located out on that ranch, but I think I saw that as an opportunity to house the people that come in and help us fight fire during our fire season. So maybe in the future we can springboard and build off of that, because we have 43,000 acres available out there. So I just needed to say that. But it's been real interesting. And did you give somebody the jump drive for?
I don't know.
Like I said, everything's on it. Plus, you already have some, but I got some additional. Like I said, I don't know what kind of time we're at, but I'm no hurry, but
I'm good to go.
You guys got
on fire right now.
I know you guys got business you got to conduct, so.
Yeah.
Congresswoman Ross.
Motion to have the minutes reflect that section. Well, wait a minute. What did y'all do in your last committee meeting where you all had questions about payroll and benefit? Did y'all hold off or did you pass
decided to resolve that issue in appropriations because we're seeing several budgets with that.
I just want to stay consistent.
Absolutely.
All right, so motion to have the minutes reflect that section 119 and 120 have been considered and accepted.
Motion on the floor. Second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
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 Yes. Motion passes. Mr. Walker, thank you.
You just want to open it up real quick. I mentioned emergency tires, and like I said, I hope I gain this staff, but this is just real quick. So emergency tires are 35, I believe, on this list. Craig Walker at any given time, he's an Osage. Tyler Wilson's an Osage. Ross Shemanek's an Osage. Trayton Reddy's Osage. Cody Jester's Osage. Cameron Chesbro. I am skipping the ones that are not. But they are still available to assist. Wilson Heights Osage. Dalton Baker. Trent Barnett. Jennifer Bradshaw. Brandon Gillum, Rand Pinkella. Lewis Bailey. Brad Hammond is married to an Osage. Benny Miller is married to an Osage. Corbin Malone. Myself. That's the list of emergency hires, also with the qualifications out to the sides that I can call in and assist once in red or full time. Call in to assist if needed during our busiest time to travel. Now, some of them are career firemen, for example. A lot of these
probably shouldn't be talking about people that fill positions.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you. But we appreciate the information. We appreciate that you train up Osages to help us in those. And those emergency hires are covered by those funds you can recover from the BIA,
yes, ma'am.
Correct?
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, here is, if I can show you more real quick, a fuels project. So if you go in, show you some pictures real fast. So this was at the Connors, right next to the, over here is the Hominy Casino, the prison would be back off of here. But this is a 7.5 acre project we accomplished. We collaborated with the Dick Connors Correctional Facility. They were having problems with people coming in from the south side throwing illegal contraband over their fences into prisoners. So we worked with them, they took care of this whole half, which I think there's a picture of it. We took care of this. So that's what it started. There's a picture of one of us and they're doing hand pinning with chainsaw, actually myself in there. This is as we're progressing through, what we're doing is we just basically are going in there and we call this lock and scatter. We're just putting it on the ground, letting it cure out to where it can be burned. Another picture. This is as we're progressing through.
What's the date on this?
This was in 2016. So there's that picture. That's pretty. Once we had it all done, we went in, and after we had the whole treatment laid out, scattered, cured, we went in and and burn it. So that's what it did look like. And what we left standing was our target was cedar. So as you can tell, everything pretty much was cedar except for what we left, which is oak. It's burned. And this was taken with our drone that we use.
Total amount of time it took to do that?
We went in there a year prior, we cut it, we let it cure for about, let it cure for a year, then we went back and burned it in July. So we did have to leave it late. But one thing that takes it so long is you gotta go in and do all the NEPA. You gotta make sure we're not affecting the burrowing beetle. You doing none of that here? Can't ruin that bug. It's really hard. It does. And then this is a picture from today. These are pictures from today. So this is what it looks like now. And it's just nothing but good grass. And we would eventually like to move a little further west and continue treating more of that.
Is that looking to the north?
That is actually looking directly west. The casino would be right here.
Okay. That's the number one problem with that. What is driving throw bags?
Well, here's your prison right here. And so what this used to be, this look used to look just the same, but they brought in a dozer and everything and did that. And they asked us if we would treat this.
So people drive up there and throw bags?
Well, I guess what they were doing is parking over here. I couldn't tell you really that they were walking. And again, it was terrible where they pointed where that pointer at. It was terrible. So. And then that's our casino. These are pictures from today. They know that we're down there this morning.
Congresswoman White.
Thank you, Mr. Walker. We appreciate the work you do for the nation. Know it can be hard and dangerous at times, so I really appreciate everything you do.
Chair, we entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
To adjourn. Thank you, sir. Appreciate
thank
it.
You all.
Yeah. Just read what that is. I bet you, Mr. Walker, can
see that too.
You're gonna die laughing.
I can't remember who made it.
It's a true form.
He entertained. Who made the motion?
Alice,
okay. Angela seconded.
Oh, no, the burying beetle, it has a death certificate that you can fill out.
Accidental death.
Did you fill any of those?